it's a great, great set of concerts. In fact, tonight, for those of you, and I think we already have 2,000 people bought tickets to hear Yo-Yo Ma and Pam Frank and Manny X play Schubert in our incredible Ozawa Hall. So that starts off the 4 days, and we have a wonderful Friday night concert with a young conductor playing Brahms Symphony and some songs with Simon Keenly-Side, and then, of course, Phil Knight, which is one of the legendary, John Williams' great, great commitment to Tanglewood, where he brings us all together. And today, he just got off the phone with me, and he's beyond excited to have Andres involved. Andres Nelson's our music director, is conducting the first half of it. So I think it's the first time in our history we've had both the music director and John on film night. Seeing how Andres syncs the film to the music, I'm not sure. It's not something I kind of explained to them when he wants to go faster when he's conducting a Beethoven symphony, the orchestra goes faster. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way in film, so he actually has to pay attention. But anyway, he'll be great. And of course, on Sunday, our incredible Music Center kids who were here for 8 weeks, they come together, they form this orchestra, as you've said, very, very politely and very enthusiastically. They become one of the great orchestras in America. Sunday at 4:30, they're no longer an orchestra. It's one of those kind of bittersweet moments. They all come together from 20 countries all over the world. And Sunday, they play the Alpine Symphony, one of the great pieces, one of the sonically spectacular pieces, with preceded by a Beethoven concerto with Paul Lewis. And they play the last note after they climb the mountain at the Alpine Symphony, and then they're off to the rest of their lives, hopefully fruitful and lots of fun.
Oh, boy, I can get it. Camp is over. They hug each other. They fold up their mattresses so that they're doubled over at the end of the bed, and then that's it.
That part of it I can't speak to, but I can speak to the music part. The mattress part, I stay fairly far away from all that.
Why is that?
Because
you're the camp director.
Right.
What's the deal? Now, you think about this, Mark. When people look back on who was in that orchestra with them, you get guys like Leonard Bernstein and Seiji, right? Was Seiji?
Well, and that orchestra, I mean, you name it. I mean, you, every famous fellow that's passed through here, with Bernstein and Witten Marsalis, Britt Bacharach probably didn't play in the orchestra. He probably sang, but he was, believe it or not, a fellow at the Tanglewood Music Center. Yeah. But beyond that, every time I go to New York and I stop by to see the Philharmonic, and then I go to Chicago and hear the Chicago Symphony. Yeah. 15, 20, 25 guys have come up to me and said, I was at Tanglewood this year. These were the people in my class. We played this with Seiji Ozawa. We played this with Leonard Bernstein. We played this with, we got to accompany Yo-Yo Ma playing, a Dvorak concerto or whatever. They you ask them what they played the week before with the Chicago Symphony, they don't remember. Whereas that their Tanglewood experience is like embedded in their brain, for the duration of their musical lives.
And in order to get admitted, you have to have a double-blind interview, or how's that work?
Well, nowadays with technology, it used to be audio tapes, but audio tapes you can kind of, finesse a little bit. Someone else can play your audition. Now it's mostly we go to various places. We capture it on film and audio, of course. Not film, but tape, and then audition committees, primarily composed of players in the orchestra, review this, and we typically have, we invite some people back every year, but we typically have 80, 90 openings, and we maybe have 1,600 people audition for them. So kind of the acceptance rate you would find at a Williams College or a Stanford or an MIT.
Or at New Paltz, where I taught.
Especially when getting into your class. I'm told that was incredibly difficult.
It was hard, but when you have a huge ego, what you do is you say okay to everybody. And they just keep giving you bigger rooms.
More blue books. Assuming there are still blue books in the world. I have no idea. It's been a few years for me.
And as well as teaching assistants. But there are advantages to having a lot of people, because then all that has to happen is three or four people. How many talkers you have out of 200 students? So if you have 10 talkers, that makes an interesting group.
Right.
So you're otherwise so looking there. Do you understand what I'm talking about here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I've been, you know, in my free time, I've been off to, you know, the Harvards and the BUs.
Yeah,
and
I bet you
other
have,
places to lecture, and you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
There are always a few people that want to engage and tell you what you're doing wrong. And I always find at some of these places, you know, how intellectual property works and copyright and especially digital rights. And there are people that study this and think they know how it really works. And there's black letter laws, they say, in the world. And then there's, you know, the real world, which, you know, you make, you know, how do we put these concepts together? How does film night work with all these films and the rights that we have to secure to use the visual imagery as John conducts the pops.
So mostly you go to law schools?
No, I do a little bit of it. My favorite one is the Kenny School. It's actually a very humbling experience. I go in and teach a seminar on negotiation. One of the guys that runs the federal mediation invites me to do this. And there are these people that are mid and high mid level positions in Senegal and in Caracas and all over the world that come to the Kennedy School, and you know, I'm sitting there negotiating mostly about money and whatever, but they're negotiating life and death issues. So I find that you know, when I do that once a year, to be one of the most humbling evenings of my career.
That's very flattering. I can't imagine why I haven't been invited, but you know, that's the way life is. So, Mark Volpe, always wonderful to talk to you. You know what I love You know what I love about you the most? You really have a good sense of humor. That is such
the jokes on me much of the time, so I better have a good sense of humor.
Such a rare thing. Thanks, Mark Volpe.
You take care.